Well, it is good to be back with you tonight and thankful for everybody that could be out this Tuesday evening. I know we all got our schedules and a lot of things going on. I know some couldn't be with us, but thankfully a lot of it's recorded and streamed online to go back to. But thankful we're here together tonight. I'm glad to be back with you. And this evening I want to start by really talking about really a problem, an issue, something that does happen, and that is really that people are leaving the church in a few different ways, really. People of all kinds, when we ask this question, well, you say people are leaving the church. Well, why are people leaving the church? Why does that happen? And again, it happens a few different ways. Sometimes people don't leave, you know, the Lord's church, and they don't leave the Lord. They just relocate to another congregation. And so in that sense, they leave the church. They end up going to another church, another congregation. Sometimes, though, people leave the church altogether. They are tired of the church and the organization of the church and all that is going on in the church. And so they choose to stay away from the idea of church altogether, or at least the idea of an organized local church. And so that's what they do. They don't leave their faith in God. They just kind of stay to themselves and do their own thing instead. And then sometimes people leave the church and God altogether. They have just had enough, and so they not only leave the church, they leave the Lord, they give up their faith, and so they quit. And we ask the question, well, why is that? When there are so many answers to that question, really, that question of why do people leave in the various ways that they do, that of course there are many different reasons why people end up doing that. But I want to talk about one of those reasons that I think is very important for us to talk about tonight, and that sadly and unfortunately, this is happening at times because of brethren, because of Christians. You know, the title of tonight's sermon, released as we're looking at this series, we started to look at things that can discourage us as Christians. And last night, we looked at how we can be discouraged by the world around us and those who are living in sin. And then tonight, though, we're going to bring it inward. We're going to bring it back home and talk about how, unfortunately and sadly, we can be discouraged by brethren. And that shouldn't even be a title. We shouldn't even have to say that. We shouldn't even be able to say that. But we're human, and there it is. There is that problem that, unfortunately, at times, the cause of people becoming discouraged, becoming weakened, the cause sometimes of people leaving the church in various ways, into various degrees, is because of the church itself. The very people, the very brethren, the very brothers and sisters who should be in unity, as we just prayed for this evening, praying for unity. We could understand being discouraged by outside forces in the world all around us and those living in sin. And really, the Lord's body, His people, the church, should really be a safe haven. It should be a sanctuary. It should be a place of love and peace and unity and strength and calm, and a place where we're at home, where we don't have to worry about being discouraged and having... And that's not to say, I mean, of course, there's still going to at times be issues, questions, maybe some disagreements and things. But I believe even in those we're going to talk about tonight can still be handled in such a way that it doesn't cause the problems that sometimes it tends to. There was a picture. I don't know how many of you are on Facebook, and if you're not, that's totally okay. But for those of us who venture on social media, at least such as Facebook, there's a picture that I've seen going around quite a bit, and I often agreed with it and thought, you know, that makes a good point, because I'm just thinking of all the people personally that I know that have been discouraged or can be discouraged and kind of worrying about them and the picture that had been going around. And maybe you've seen this one, or maybe you've, if you've even been on Facebook or social media, if you haven't, take a moment and read it. Maybe you've seen this one, or at least one like it, that has gone around. And it basically says, don't let anyone be the cause and the reason why you leave the church, because they are not the reason that you go to church in the first place. And there's truth to that. And I've seen that. I'm like, yeah, you know, we're trying. You know, this idea, this is an attempt to encourage those who maybe have encountered some discouragement, maybe some frustration, maybe some hurt feelings by brethren. And it's really an attempt to try to encourage those who are downhearted and those who have become weary and discouraged. Say, hey, don't quit and don't give up because of so-and-so and brother, sister, so-and-so, whatever they're saying and whatever they're doing. Don't quit the church. Don't quit the Lord because of them, because they're not the reason you're here in the first place. They're part of it, no doubt. But God is first. And so I've seen that again, and I've thought, yeah, that's, you know, I want to encourage. And I think I even shared this on my own Facebook page and, like, trying to encourage people, like, hey, hang in there. Don't quit because somebody's giving you grief and bothering you in some way that they shouldn't be. But then another truth was brought to light. Somebody actually ended up commenting on that very post and saying, well, yeah, you know, there's truth to that, but there's also another side of that, is the reality of that's actually happening, sadly. And so I was like, yeah, you know, I agree with that too. That is true. We cannot just dismiss the fact that people are becoming discouraged and even leaving the church. We cannot say, oh, well, you know, they just need to stay. They don't need to leave. They're just weak and they're just quitting, and that's, you know, a shame on them. Well, at the same time, what's happening to them to feel that way should be happening in the first place. And so we got to talk about that too. So we can't just throw this out there to the people that are struggling and say, well, you just need to ignore it. You just need to get over it. You just need to hang in there and stay, because that's what you need to do. Well, we also got to talk about what we all should be doing too. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, is this fact that we can become discouraged by brethren, or maybe it is we as a Christian or brother or sister could maybe be the one who is discouraging our fellow brethren. And that's something to seriously consider as well. So simply, I want to touch on these two truths before we really look at some scriptures. As again, there are two truths in that statement that we just looked at of encouraging people not to leave, not to quit, not to run away. Well, there are two truths we got to deal with. The first, as we said, is that it's happening. People are being discouraged. People are becoming upset. They are being hurt. They are almost being driven away. And we're talking about this is happening from fellow Christians, from fellow brethren, by Christians not acting the way they should be. By, you know, when there are issues. Now, we're not talking, we could talk about sinful things. But even when there are, okay, let's say it is a matter of sin. Let's say someone is in sin. Well, we are taught by scriptures how we should go about handling that in a right way, in a loving way, in a caring way, in a serious way, yes. But sometimes even when it is a matter of sin, sometimes that doesn't get handled right. Sometimes instead of trying to help somebody and help them and teach them and maybe guide them to see the sin that they are in, the sin that they are committing, and trying to lovingly encourage them, you know, to repent. Instead, it becomes we can attack. if we're not careful. Maybe we kind of bash them on the head with it, or we kind of neglect them or cut them off, or in a way drive them out of the church because of whatever sin it may be that they're in. And that's not right either. You know, that's not how we're to deal with sin. Now, I understand, well, you know, what if they're not repenting and they don't want to change? Well, then, of course, there are, you know, steps we can take to deal with that. But even that still has to be done in Christ-like manner. And it's not always done that way. But really, for really what I'm getting at tonight doesn't have to do with sinful things. But I think more than not, this comes along when we're talking about personal opinions, maybe personal convictions that we all have, maybe the way we feel and think about things. And then what ends up happening is then we start trying to take our opinions and our convictions, and then, you know, we're sometimes, then even personal differences, you know, we're not all the same. Our characters aren't all the same. Our personalities aren't the same. The way we do things isn't all the same. But it's those kinds of things, matters of opinion and conviction and just differences that we have, that can become these issues where, when they're not handled as they should be, when people are being mistreated, when people are being talked about, which, by the way, is called gossip and slander and whatever else you want to fill in the blank. But then the way people begin to be treated, and sometimes I think there's a few ways this can happen. Sometimes people don't say or do the right thing at all. Sometimes there are brethren who just act sinful towards one another, towards certain people. They're, the things they say, the things they do towards these brethren are just, I mean, outright sinful. It's unloving, unkind, unchristlike, ungodly. That can happen sometimes. But sometimes it's not necessarily, you know, some sinful behavior, but sometimes brethren can become, again, we can, if we're not careful, we can become so strong about our convictions, become so hard and so staunch about what we feel and believe and our opinions and preferences and so on and so forth, that we then try to push that on one another. And then when certain people don't meet our opinions and convictions, well, then we can almost make it out like they're sinning and they're bad and they're wrong and they're not good people. And more than not, the ones that are being talked about, they hear that personally or hear it from other people. They know it's being said about them, and then they become discouraged. And then sometimes even, I think sadly, sometimes brethren have good intentions. I've seen it. I've heard of it. You know, I can't for sure say sometimes, brethren, I don't think they have an evil intent. I don't think they're trying to be mean or ugly, but I think we could all agree that sometimes, if we're not careful, even with good intentions, we can sometimes say and do things that it'd be better not to say and do, because it's not going to be helpful. It is going to be more discouraging rather than helpful and encouraging. Again, we're talking about matters of opinion, preferences, ideas, perspectives, personalities. When it comes to potential converts, you know, sometimes when we have people visiting and maybe we're trying to study with somebody and maybe, you know, these potential new converts and we're trying to teach them the gospel, but then they start to see some of the things and hear some of the things that are going on within the church, and they're thinking, I don't really know if I want any part of that. And so they kind of say, well, thanks, but no thanks, and they head out the door. Sometimes it's new converts, those who have obeyed the gospel, but then maybe as they're learning and growing or even struggling, whatever the case may be, then the way people are talking about them and treating them, well, they can become discouraged. Young people, others, I've even heard of instances. Now, this is me personally. I've heard of various things that have happened, and it's caused me to worry. I've heard of situations and families in other places and other churches and other states where things that are being said and done in these young people who, you know, they're growing up in the church. Their families have been going to church. Their parents are Christians. But it's their kids. Their kids are growing up with all of this. But time and time again, their kids are seeing and hearing how people are being treated. And you think about these kids that are growing up in the church and some things they're seeing and hearing, they may get to the point, well, once I'm old enough, I'm gone because I don't want any part of that. Because of how they've been treated or how they've heard others have been treated, it happens that way. And honestly, some of the stories that I've heard, I almost can't blame them for leaving. Not saying it's the right thing to do. But when you hear about what they're dealing with, how they're being treated, how they're being talked about, what's happening within the church, you kind of got to say, well, it's kind of hard to blame them for not wanting to be a part of that. And so one thing we've got to deal with, we've all got to deal with as Christians, is the reality that sometimes brethren are not behaving as they should. And we'll get into this more in a minute, but I got to make sure that's not me. I got to make sure that I, as a Christian, am not discouraging others within the church, causing them to have doubts and frustrations and then them to leave. There was a saying recently, and I thought it was just kind of ironic that I came across it before preaching tonight. It was just the other day or something, and I saved it for this very lesson. And somebody posted this saying that said, sometimes the faithful few are few only because they've run off the faithful many. Think about that for a minute. We talk about the faithful few, right? But maybe the faithful are few in number because they've discouraged and run off a whole bunch of others that were faithful, just maybe had some differences, maybe some disagreements. And that is a sad reality, I think. Something we need to be mindful of as brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, with that said, I want to get back to the message. The second truth we got to deal with tonight, though, is that for anybody who is feeling discouraged, and maybe somebody here tonight, maybe not here, maybe you've experienced, maybe you haven't, or you know of somebody. The message to those who are struggling with this, they've been discouraged, their feelings have been hurt, they feel the strain on them. Maybe they're on the verge of wanting to leave or wanting to quit. My message is don't. Really goes back to that original statement of don't leave the church because of someone else. Because they're not what the church is all about. It is about God. It's about Jesus. And so the message is don't leave. Don't give up. Don't quit because of others. There is still, regardless of others, sometimes you hear, maybe you've heard the statement, sometimes people either leave the church or they don't come to the Lord because of all the hypocrites. You ever heard that? And as much as we try to dismiss that and say, oh, well, that's just an excuse. Well, okay, let's get real. The truth is there are some hypocrites in the church, okay? That's just reality. You're going to find them everywhere. But we don't base our relationship with the Lord on somebody else. My relationship with the Lord, my relationship with God is between him and me. Not me and him and then I gotta, you know, get the approval of everybody else. It's between me and God. So don't leave the church because of someone else, regardless of the hypocrites. Instead, what we've got to do is we've got to trust God, love God, serve God to the best of our abilities. And is that always going to be easy if maybe we're having issues with a brother or sister in a local congregation? No, it's not always going to be easy, but it's not impossible. And okay, sure, I'll even admit, maybe if you try to hang in there and you're trying to do the best you can, but this still just continues to be a burden and an issue, and maybe, you know, these people just will not stop. Well, then, okay, maybe it's time to relocate to another church family. Sadly, I don't think that should be the first option, but sometimes it may come to that point. We'll do that, but then still find another body of God's people and try to work with them. And pray about it, study about it, endure and trust, be pleasing to God and God alone. And then what I would also suggest is in a body of God's people in a church, unless they all are acting this way and treating you this way, usually, even if one or two within a church may not be acting as they should, there are plenty of others who are. Even if, okay, there may be a brother or sister in Christ who, for whatever reason, are giving me grief, and they have really discouraged me, they've hurt my feelings, they've said and done things that just aren't right, aren't helpful, aren't Christ-like. What I'm going to do is I've got other brothers and sisters in Christ in this church family that I can cling to for encouragement, for support, for help, for guidance. That's what I'm going to thrive off of. I'm going to go find other brothers and sisters that I know that I can grow with, that can help me, I can help them, and I can pray with them, we can study together. So I would say lean on them. Don't let the few who are discouraging cause you to quit and give up. Instead, find brothers and sisters in Christ who can help you and encourage you. Not gossiping. Again, if there really is a problem, we know Matthew 18, you know, go to that person, try to work it out when there's, you know, sin involved. But again, sometimes it's just it's personal opinions, preferences, and sometimes things get said, things get done, and it discourages people. They're not things that are really big sinful issues, but they become big issues that really discourage people. Well, with all of that in mind, I do want to consider some passages with you tonight. The first being, I'm going to borrow from James in James chapter 3, verse 10. Now, I know in the context of James chapter 3, James is talking about the mouth, but even there, notice, in James chapter 3, the very thing he says down in the latter part of that section, in James chapter 3, actually, if you look in verse 9, he's talking about the mouth. He says, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. And what does James say? My brethren, these things ought not to be. And that's my message in line to this, of this, how could brethren be discouraging to one another? It ought not to be. We should not be discouraging one another. We are meant to build up and to encourage and to love and to serve one another. And the things that I hear on occasions from, and I'm not claiming I'm perfect, because I'm not, right? I'm sure I've maybe said and done some things that have not been helpful, and I've got to learn from that. But I hear of plenty of stories of events and people that are being discouraged by brethren, and I'm worried and I'm praying. I'm thinking, well, I don't know what's going to happen. But then it's sad to hear that and think this ought not to be. Brethren should not be acting like this to one another and treating one another this way. when it comes to these kinds of things. And again, as we said, even if it is a matter of sin, we got to handle it the way God wants us to handle it. There's a right way to handle it. There's a wrong way to handle it. There's a helpful way and a not helpful way to help people deal with their sins. What about Matthew 18? We mentioned it earlier, but I want to look at another part of Matthew 18 there towards the beginning. In Matthew chapter 18, remember when Jesus said there, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and if he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes." And then he goes on to say, whatever is causing sin, to get rid of it. What I get from this is we've got to be careful to make sure that I am not the cause of someone else becoming discouraged and stumbling and possibly even falling away. I don't want that to be me. I would hate to know that Kevin Heaton, well, you know, you said something to somebody one time and that really upset them and you hurt them and discouraged them and, you know, they became unfaithful. That, I would not want that said. So really what we've got to do is we've really, as Christians, this goes back to the first thing, we've really got to think about what we're saying and doing. Compare it to the Word of God and make sure we're doing all things in the love of Christ and the love of God, making sure that we're not discouraging our brethren. When it comes to really anything, but especially maybe it's matters of opinion and preference and personality and things that, in the grand scheme of things, aren't that big of a deal. But we can make them a big deal. And it can really discourage one another. Another passage that comes to mind that I think is really helpful, really about what we should be doing as Christians, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. I guess it would help if I went to the right book. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies," he says, compassion. We've got to have a heart of compassion, of tender mercy, kindness, being kind to one another, with humility, being humble, having a humble heart and a humble attitude to one another, meekness, along with humility, along with that meekness. And one of my favorite definitions of meekness is power under control. I don't know if that's a perfect definition of meekness, but it's one of my favorites. Power under control. And it really boils down to a sense of, I can say and do things, but I've got the humility and self-control enough not to. Careful in what I say and I do. Being long-suffering, patient with one another. Patience and long-suffering, bearing with one another. Putting up with one another, bearing with one another. Forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one mind. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and with wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness and grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. All of our conduct, all that we say, all that we do needs to be in the name of the Lord. and his holiness and purity. Now, really, this, what Paul's talking about here, kind of goes to both sides. To all of us, making sure, again, we're not being the one that is discouraging other brethren by being compassionate and kind and humble and meek and patient and bearing with one another and forgiving one another. But that also goes towards if we're the one being discouraged. We've also got to be humbled and kind and patient and forgiving, bearing with one another, putting up with one another. So Paul reminds us of some important things here. Attitude of heart of how we're to treat one another. And if we would go by this list and plenty of the other ones that Paul gives us as well, and striving to have a Christ-like heart and spirit, we're going to be a whole lot better off. A whole lot better off. And then finally, 1 Thessalonians was another one that came to mind. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Again, I guess it would help if I went to the right book. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more in love for one another. And in all those things, Paul has said to the Colossians of humility and compassion and forgiveness and kindness, I would say as well. Verse 11, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands as we command you, or commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, that you may lack nothing. And may I say and add, and I hope Paul doesn't mind, that we not only walk properly toward those who are outside the body of Christ, but even more so towards those who are inside the body of Christ. We should. You know, I think there's maybe a similar truth that can be applied to this. You know, we're talking about the home and family, and you know, sometimes those outside of the family is who we treat the best. Have you ever thought about that or heard that? Sometimes those who are not in our immediate family, in our home, you know, those that are kind of outside, we treat them more with kindness and patience and courtesy and humility, and we kind of talk differently. We kind of treat those outside of our own family a lot better than we often treat those who are our family. For some reason, it is in, I think, human nature that I guess because we feel more comfortable, we feel we can, that within our own home sometimes, whether it's parents with children or husbands and wives with each other or children, you know, with their siblings, whatever, the way we kind of talk and treat one another sometimes is a lot worse than we do those outside of our home. And I wonder if sometimes that's the same when it comes to God's family, when it comes to our church family. That maybe sometimes those outside of whatever congregation we're a part of, we would talk and treat, you know, in a certain way. But for some reason, those within our church family, our local congregation, for some reason, we can treat them sometimes worse than we would other people. Maybe we feel more freedom to say and do some things. I don't know. We feel more comfortable, or we feel we have more accountability and whatever to kind of say and talk and do whatever we want to do. But sometimes I think that can be the case. But we know that we are children of God. We got to treat one another like it. We got to remember that. As we are the children of God, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to treat each other that way. Like God wants us to, like God expects us to. And we've got to make sure. I think for our purposes tonight, again, two things. Number one, I've got to make sure that I am not ever discouraging my brethren by how I'm treating them or not treating them, by what I'm saying or doing towards them. I want to make sure that I'm not discouraging someone from wanting to leave the church. Whether it's, you know, leave my particular congregation, or maybe, you know, leave organized church altogether, or maybe even leave the Lord. We got to make sure we don't cause that, or we don't encourage that. But again, secondly, maybe if you or I are the one who are being discouraged, maybe we're seeing and hearing some things and being treated in a way, and we're Maybe I'm getting to the point where, you know what, I'm tired. I've had enough. I'm tired of this silliness. I'm tired of this foolishness. I'm tired of being treated this way. Don't quit. Don't walk away. Don't leave. Hang in there. Put your faith and trust in God. Put God first. Lean on Him. And as we said earlier, lean on the brethren who can help you and encourage you. And pray, of course, for one another. And as Paul said, be compassionate, bear with one another, be patient with one another, be forgiving of one another. Because we are all human, and I know that. But we can't use that as an excuse for our behavior at times. But also, we can't use that as an excuse to quit either. So I hope we'll take some of these things we've talked about tonight, take them to heart, and be mindful of that. And with that in mind, if you would, let's go to God in prayer together about these things. Let's pray. Our Father God, we come to you now as your children, as brothers and sisters in Christ, and thankful for your love, thankful we can call you Father, thankful that we can call one another brothers and sisters, that we are your family. We are a family of your people, your children. But sometimes, dear God, we know that sometimes there's going to be differences. Maybe differences in opinion or perspective or preferences or even convictions of certain things. And we know sometimes those things can become emotional. Sometimes we can feel strongly about them. And we know sometimes we can be guilty of maybe not saying and doing things as we should. Maybe without even realizing it, have or could discourage others by how we handle situations, by how we treat one another. And I pray, dear God, that we would all examine ourselves and be careful, to be careful in how we act and how we talk and how we treat one another. And even if there are differences of opinion and convictions and preferences, that we would handle those with love, with patience, with humility, and with forgiveness when maybe we do step on each other's toes or we upset one another, we offend one another, or we discourage one another. Help us to correct those things when we find ourselves guilty of them, and help us to use the wisdom of your word and your love to treat one another the way that you would have us to. And dear God, maybe it's me or one of us or anyone who maybe has felt at times discouraged or hurt or upset or offended by Christians, and we pray for them that they will not give up, that they will not walk away, that they will not leave, but instead that they would cling to you, that they would cling to their brothers and sisters who can help and support them. We pray, dear God, for your church to grow in love, to grow in faith, to grow in hope, to grow in number of souls being saved. Dear God, we know that Satan is going to use any means he can to cause your church to be disrupted, to cause your church to be divided. Satan wants to cause all kinds of issues and problems to keep us distracted from the purpose you have called us to live for. Help us not to fall victim to his schemes and his traps and his temptations. Help us to keep our eyes on you and to be loving, to be compassionate, to be forgiving, to be humble, to be meek, to be willing to forgive and let go, and to put you first, and to love you with all our heart, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love one another. May we continue to grow and increase to your glory. And it's in Jesus we pray. Amen. If you would open your songbooks to the invitation song this evening. Ultimately, God has shown his love for us. And God is who matters most. Not to say that, you know, our love for one another doesn't matter, because it does. And God says it does. But God's love is perfect. God's love does not change. God is faithful, even when people may be unfaithful to us at times. God is always faithful. So we need to put our faith and our trust in him, rely on God for strength and for guidance to be who we need to be, and to love God and to learn to love one another. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the love of God. God has shown his love for us, and that he sent his Son to die for us. And then he calls us, as John said, to love one another. In 1 John, to love one another, that if God has so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And may that be what we're all working on. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not yet a Christian. And maybe it's been that you've seen or heard some things that you have questions about, that if maybe you've been hesitant to come to the gospel, to want to obey because of whatever issues there may be. We want to help you with that. We want to study the gospel with you, show you Jesus, show you his love, that you can come repenting of your sins, believing in Jesus, confessing faith in him, being baptized, having your sins washed away, to join God's family and to help us all be who we need to be. Or maybe you're here tonight and maybe you're struggling with some sin. I know we didn't really talk about sin tonight as much, but maybe there's something in your life you need to make right with God. We want to help you with that too. Or maybe tonight you're here and you are one of those that we've talked about that have been discouraged, that have been hurt, that are struggling with those emotions and feelings and thoughts. We want to help you with that as well. If you need to come tonight, won't you come now as we stand and sing this song?
Come to the